Okay, today we are discussing, continuing our class on happiness, and we're basing ourselves on the Mishnah in chapter 4, Ben Zoma. And Ben Zoma says, Ezu Ashir Asamech Belgo, who is a wealthy person, and a person who's wealthy is a person who's happy what they have. And it's so hard to find happiness today. And people today need stimulants to become happy. They go on drugs, alcohol, all sorts of things, try and find happiness. But that's what the Torah says. True happiness does not come through gratifying physical desires. So a person says, you know, I'll be happy when I have that piece of cake. But you know what's going to happen when you're happy when you have a piece of cake? It's going to make you fat. You're not going to be happy. It's not going to make you happy. It'll make you happy for 2 minutes, and then it's going to be over. That 2 minutes is going to be over. So happiness, we said, number one, is spiritual fulfillment. Spiritual fulfillment. That's number one. Number two, when you make other people happy, you'll be happy. And that's true happiness. Happiness is when you see other people and you make them happy, you're going to be happy as well. That's number two. So happiness is an obligation, which means a person's going to try their best to be happy in life. Now, it's a very interesting concept this week's parasha. And that is that the firstborn were chosen. We know that in Jewish law, the firstborn, what do you do with the firstborn? You have a firstborn son, what do you do with him? Pidyon HaBen. What's Pidyon HaBen? You redeem him. You have to redeem him because he's holy, you redeem him from the Kohen. Why is he holy? How did the firstborn become holy? And this applies also to animals. The firstborn animal, a kosher animal, is holy. What made them holy? And the answer is, there's two kinds of holiness. There's active holiness and there's passive holiness. What is active holiness? Where a person themselves, like for example, B'nai Levi. B'nai Levi, the sons of Levi, became holy. How? Because they fought after the golden calf. They stood up. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the mountain. He sees all the Jews sitting with the golden calf. He says, Mi Lashem Elai, who's going to come and join me against the rest of the Jews? And the whole tribe of Levi said, we will. They actively engaged to become holy. However, there's another concept, which is passive holiness. What's passive holiness? The firstborn in Egypt. How did they become holy? It says, God jumped over the houses of the Jewish firstborn and killed all the Egyptian firstborn. So now, the Jewish firstborn come out of their houses. The Egyptians say, hey, how come you're alive? You're all firstborn. You should all be dead. Ah, God saved you. It means that God is able to distinguish between the Jewish firstborn and the Egyptian firstborn. So the fact that they survived passively, they didn't do anything, that made a Kiddush Hashem. Amazing, think about it. There's a thing called passive Kiddush Hashem. What's passive Kiddush Hashem? When a Jew sits, when the airline says, put up your seatbelts, and the Jew is sitting down. That's passive Kiddush Hashem. What's active Kiddush Hashem? When the airline has a sign on,
put
your seatbelts on, and the Jew is sitting down in the seat with the seatbelt on.
Oh, witness.
Okay. That's passive Kiddush Hashem. When the airline says, any doctors on the flight? And the Jewish doctor says, here, I'm going to volunteer. That's active Kiddush Hashem.
Right.
So there's active Kiddush Hashem, there's passive Kiddush Hashem. And we got to try and get to the stage of active Kiddush Hashem. The same thing applies to happiness. There's passive happiness, where a person's happy. I'm happy. And then there's active happiness, which is helping other people to be happy. And that's a very high level. To help other people happy, a person's got to be happy to start. A person's got to be happy to be able to help other people to be happy. So a person's going to try and get to the stage where they're happy. And then, how can you comfort a mourner when you go there and you cry as well? How can you make a person who's sick feel better when you go and then cry with them? And they're going to feel even worse. So you're crying. I knew a person, a close relative, unfortunately, who had cancer. And if you go there with a mournful face, it's the worst thing in the world. Like, they're depressed already, they're making them more depressed. So it's very important. A person's got to put on a smile. You got to put on, and you know what? The best doctors are the happy doctors. The optimistic doctors. No problem. Your prognosis is great. Oh, that's... What does the patient want to hear? You want to hear from a doctor, your prognosis is great. But the doctor walks in, That's already, the patient's already, boom.
Bum.
So it's very important to get a good doctor. I had a case in Vancouver, terrible case.
You need to get a liar for a doctor.
Not a liar, good actor. A good actor, I don't say a liar. You can't tell lies. But a good actor... I knew a guy, it's a true story, of a guy in Vancouver, he was a Holocaust survivor. He was in shul, he used to come to shul every morning. Holocaust survivor, he had the numbers on his thing. He built himself a new life, got married again, got a children again. Built himself a brand new life, very strong man. And I saw him in the morning, he was fine. And I didn't see him again. I said, where is he? Where is so-and-so? He's in hospital. I go to the hospital, I see him. He's a broken man. Why? He went to the doctor that day. The doctor says, you have 5 more weeks to live. The doctor destroyed him. Can you imagine? In the morning, he didn't know. So he's fine. He gets the news, broken in a terribly harsh way. Psychologically, demolished him. So it's very important. So these things are very important. How we treat other people, how we react to other people can affect them. So there's active happiness and there's passive happiness. So just sitting down and smiling, try, is passive happiness. But active happiness is going, how are you? How are you doing? How's everything? Can I help you? That's active happiness. So there's two different parts. So it's very important to know there's active happiness and the passive happiness. It says Rabbi Avida Miller would sit in front of the mirror. Can you imagine? He would sit in front of the mirror practicing his smile. Just sit there trying to get a case where he's always smiling. He's always in a good mood. He's always smiling because when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. And that's why everyone knows that. You have to smile. A person has to smile. You have to smile. But wherever you go with a frown, you're ruining other people's days. It's very important to smile all the time. Show your teeth. Of the bracha given to Yehuda, Beloven Shinai Mechalach. The white of your teeth is more important than the milk. The white of your teeth. So showing people the teeth, to smile, is very, very important. So how does a person get to happiness? And the answer is a person's got to master their thoughts. Because everyone has negative thoughts. A person has worries. I gotta pay this bill and this bill. I didn't get enough wages. Imagine a person working for the government. There's a shutdown. Imagine. TSA. They're not paying their staff. Imagine. Hard to imagine, right? So now the guy's gotta work and he doesn't get any paycheck. How am I gonna manage? Imagine the worry. Living paycheck to paycheck and then worrying about I didn't get a paycheck. I know I'm gonna be paid later on. They're gonna pay retroactively. But in the meantime, how am I gonna manage? I gotta pay my rent. I gotta pay my bills. So, the worries can ruin a person's happiness. So how can a person remain happy when they have all these worries? You know, there's a famous story of a rabbi and his wife. So the rabbi's wife is very worried. Why? Worried. Her daughter got engaged, and they got to pay a massive amount of dowry, and here the rabbi's over there, and he's humming a tune. I have a brother like that, by the way. I have a brother like that, he's okay. He doesn't have a worry in his life. I don't know how he manages. And his daughter is getting married, and he's happy, and his wife is, what's going to do? How are we going to pay for this? How are we going to pay for the wedding? So she said, I don't understand. How come you're not worried? How come you're not worried? So listen, he says, you always tell me I have a quick brain. My mind is very fast. He said, what takes you worry for 2 weeks, I can do in 2 minutes. So I worry very fast. So the answer is, a person's going to think, I'm passing my burdens to Hashem. I'm passing my burdens to Hashem. All my burdens. Hashem can carry me. Hashem carry my burdens as well. I've said this story many times. Right. The story of the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim gives this parable. He says, the parable, can you imagine the old days when you could hitchhike across the world? Imagine. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in the 60s, 70s, you could go with your thumb and hitchhike safely around the world. So can you imagine, the guy's hitchhiking and the car stops for the guy. He says, where do you want to go? Hop in, I'll take you. No problem. Goes in. Hops in, and the car's carrying him. And the driver says to him, he says, why are you still carrying your backpack? Take off your backpack. So what he says, it's enough you're carrying me. I don't want you to carry my backpack as well. So listen, Hashem is carrying us anyway. So give him all the backpack. That's the problem. Hashem is carrying us. We're alive. Hashem is, give him your backpack as well. Give him all the worries that a person has. And the truth is, when you give Hashem your worries, Hashem comes through. And Hashem comes through for a person. So joy is a mitzvah. It's the joy you share with those orphans, widows, people without family, poor people. And it's very important to share, to invite people who don't have a place to go. Like especially on Yom Tov. There's a beautiful Rambam. The Rambam says the laws of Yom Tov. There's a mitzvah to eat meat and drink wine in Yom Tov. We know that, right? But that was in the time of the Beit HaMikdash where the meat was the meat of a korban. It wasn't regular meat. Today, there's only wine. There's no meat anymore. That's it. The Shulchan Aruch says there's no mitzvah to eat meat in Yom Tov. Why? Because the meat was the meat of the korban. Today, we don't have meat of a korban. But it's a mitzvah to rejoice on Yom Tov. Mitzvah to rejoice on Yom Tov. But he says the rejoicing in Yom Tov is not complete if you don't have with you orphans, widows, Gerim, Levis. In those days, the Levi was lived by the Maaser. He didn't go to work. Right. Today, the Levi goes to work. But a person has, it's very important to have with you, to always invite, Yom Tov especially, one of these categories. An orphan, a widow, not company. It's got to be someone in need, someone who lacks something. Someone who doesn't have anywhere to go. People have places to go, they're not really, a person doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. People don't realize that. If I invite my neighbor who has a good house, a nice place, a nice food, I'm not doing my mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. Hachnasat Orchim is giving to the less fortunate. There's a guy in the shul who doesn't have a place to go. That's the guy to give Hachnas. That's Hachnas. That's the mitzvah of Hachnasat Orchim. That's what Avraham Avinu would do. He would go outside and look for people who had nowhere to go. He didn't invite his brother-in-law, he didn't invite his sister, he invited people who had nowhere to go, strangers. That's very hard. It's very hard. That's how you make them happy. That's joy. Joy is making other people happy. And then you feel the joy.
Bless you.
So you have to cheer up other people without hurting their feelings. So you see someone who is very sad. Cheer up! Why are you so sad? That's not the way to cheer someone up. That's the way to make him more sad. You have to cheer them up by empathizing with them. How can I help you? What's wrong? What's this? Hear their worries. It's very hard to do because we have enough worries. Now I'm going to listen to other people's worries. People don't have time, patience to listen to other people's worries. It's too much. Everyone has their own problems. Then you got to dump on the other person the problems. So you know the story of the guy in New York City. He mugged someone, put a gun to his head. Said, what do you want? You want my wallet, my money? Take whatever you want. He says, no, he says, I just want someone to talk to. Well, that's life today. Life today is people need people to talk to. People don't have friends in a way that you can't unburden yourself to your friends. They'll think you're crazy. They have no one to talk to. Really. Even spouses today are just too busy and too under pressure themselves. Now I got someone problems now. You got problems. I got problems at work and I got problems over here. Now you want to dump your problems on me. It's too much. But the answer is, that is chesed. Chesed is being patient. Chesed is listening to other people. It's so hard to do. It's what a person's going to do. And that's how you make people happy. Make people happy by empathizing, by sympathizing, by listening to them. So, it's very hard to do. I know, because people bother me all the time. It's very hard to do. You've got to retain your composure. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to do. So, we have to know, number one is we have to appreciate what we have. So we said, Hu ezu ashir, asameh belko. So a person's going to listen. Make a list of what I have. What do you have? If you have good health, you won the lottery. Really. A person who has good health, people don't really appreciate. Until they get sick, they don't appreciate good health. Number one on your list is good health. If you have a good mind, number two, that's a mirror. That's fantastic. That's the first prayer we pray every day. Atah chonen adam da, please Hashem, give me brains. A person knows has brains, you won the lottery. So good health, brains. That's your need. That's all you need. That's what you need. Those are the basic tools. That's the basic tools already. So make a list of what you have. A person has a roof over their head, you won the lottery. A person has food to eat, won the lottery. A person's not worried. I have food in the go to my fridge and see it's full. My wife knows how to buy and go store. Everything's fine. So that's a bonus. That's a bonus. All the bonus. So a person's got to know all these things in life. Make a list of all the things we have. And then rejoice. A person's got to thank God for everything they have. Because Hashem says, you don't thank me, I take it away. Very simple. You don't want it, I'll give it to someone else. It's like a child with a parent. The parent says, I gave you this, they give you this. The child says, not enough. Okay, I'm not going to give you anymore. Very simple. You don't appreciate, you don't get. You throw your stuff around, you don't get anymore. That's it. Very simple. So it's very important to appreciate what we have. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. That's what Ben Zoma is telling us. You have, but you don't appreciate. You're not going to be happy. Because happiness is based on appreciation. That's what happens today. That's the problem today with children. They don't appreciate what their parents give them. And the parents give so much, really, honestly. So I know what it's like. You give them love, you give them affection, you work day and night for them, you buy them this, you buy them that, and you get chutzpah. That's chutzpah. That's chutzpah. That's lack of hakarat hatov. They don't appreciate. If you don't appreciate, I don't have patience for you. If you don't appreciate what you're getting already, no patience for you. You have to appreciate. You have to learn to appreciate. Person's got to say thank you. Person's got to say thank you to your parents. I grew up in a society where the kids kissed their parents' hands. You know that? I think it's a So nice. It's very important. Why? Because the kids got to appreciate where everything's coming from. It's coming from the parents' hands. They're working hard. You got to kiss your father's hand for kiddush. You kiss your father's hand. You kiss your mother's hand. Go for a bracha. It's very important.
Really?
Of course.
I mean, the kids did that?
Not do that. Doing that. They're doing that now.
In what country?
In my family, at least. I don't know about your country, but in my family. No, it's very important. The kids kiss their parents' hands. Out of respect and love and hakarat hatov, to show it's the hand that feeds me. This is the hand that feeds me. This is the hand that feeds me. It's the hand that feeds me. If you don't respect the hand that feeds you, it's biting the hands that feed you. That's the trouble. The kids today bite the hands that feed them. It's very important the yeshivot to teach them. Yeshivot to teach kibud avim. Because the parents themselves can't teach kibud avim. You got to see it. You got to see it in action. The kids got to see it being acted out. And they say, wow, that kid honors his parents? Wow. That's amazing. I want to also honor my parents. So, Bezrat Hashem, it's very important to think about what a person has, the blessings a person has, and our biggest blessings are good parents. A person wasn't abused as a child. A person wasn't hit as a child. A person wasn't this as a child. A person was raised in a wholesome environment. A person got to appreciate, thank God, they provided for me, and they provided for me in a wholesome environment. That's a very important thing. That's a very important thing. I know how much my parents struggled for me. Because my parents... My father was a multimillionaire until he got married. When he got married, he lost everything. Because he moved. So he had a business and he sold it. And then he moved and lived off what he had. And eventually things started running out. He had to go to work. He never worked for a day in his life for other people. He worked. He was self-employed. It was very hard for him. He went through a big crisis. And it wasn't easy. And we saw how much they struggled. We saw. And we appreciate it.
What kind of work did he do when he was rich?
He was a restaurant owner. Owned a restaurant. So, it was, I don't know, I never saw it. We were there, we were born into...
Poverty.
Poverty, yeah. Poverty. So, it's interesting, but we were happy. We were happy because we had a good family, we had each other. We had a youth group at home. You had a big family and a youth group. So you have your own youth group. So you know, what do you want? What kids want? You want to play with each other. So you play with each other. Youth group. So you had fun at home. So it was fun. So a person's got to appreciate what they have. A person's got to appreciate what they have. So that's how you become happy. How do you become happy? We said before, happiness is a decision. No one can make you happy. I can give you the tools to be happy. I can't make you happy. You have to decide yourself to be happy. How do you make that decision to be happy? And the answer is, I'm going to enjoy whatever I have. This is what God gave me. This is where I am in life. You know, today, unfortunately, people today don't have time to enjoy. It was running. This is America. Northeast is the worst society in the world, probably. I don't know. I'm just hypothesizing. Because you see people from South America coming here, and they're very happy, and they come here, and they live here 10 years, they're not happy anymore.
Isn't a lot of it a person's nature? Some people.
It's nature and nurture. There's nature, there's nurture. The peer pressure around us, society around us, has a tremendous impact. It has an impact. And the weather also has an impact. It's nice weather, people are happier. Weather's miserable, if there's no sunshine, people get miserable. So the surveys are very important. So psychology is. It's very hard to be happy all the time. But the answer is, you can make yourself happy. And that's what we're talking about. It's a free will decision. A person's got to choose. I have two choices in life. I can be miserable or I can be happy. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It can be all the worst things going around me and a person can be in their own little cocoon. I have a son like that. He's always smiling, happy. But what's going on in your life? He doesn't think about it. He's always happy. It's happy. It's like Teflon. Anything negative sort of vanishes from his life. So it's like a positive frame of mind, happy frame of mind.
That's great.
It's a very spiritual frame of mind. Is it practical? Not so practical, but it's very spiritual. What can I tell you? But these are happy people. These are people who are living in a spiritual world, and they're not so practical. I have a brother like that as well. He's very happy. His wife's not so happy, but he's happy. He doesn't worry. She worries. He worries. He doesn't worry. He's always smiling. He doesn't have a gray hair, and she is all gray. She does all the worrying for him. So it's interesting. So it's very important. Again, we choose it. It's our choice. I can't make you happy. You have to choose to be happy. I wake up in the morning, I'm miserable. You know what? I decide what's going to happen in my life. A person's got to, you know, these are the guys with self-control. A person's got to have self-control. I've seen people with self-control who live long, even though they're very sick. I had a guy in the shul. He was the president of the shul. 40 years he was president. 40 years. And he kept peace and shalom bayit. He kept everyone at bay and peace, living together in peace.
That's hard.
That's hard. He's a very quiet guy, and he was on dialysis. Dialysis is terrible. I don't know how many years he was on dialysis, 20 years, 30 years. You could see in his eyes. He's going to overcome it. He made up his mind, it's not going to affect his life. He's going to continue. And he did. He continued. Very, very, very nice guy. And he would come to the classes in Shirim and learn. And so, see, it's mind over matter. A lot of things are mind over matter. A person decides. No one's going to... You see people, they're amputees. And they're doing triathlons. They're double amputees. There was an RAF pilot. Sir Douglas Bader. Sir Douglas Bader was shot down by the Germans. And he had his legs amputated. And he went back to fly. He flew with two prostheses. And those days were terrible. And then again he got shot down. And this time he was parachuted, didn't they? And the Germans captured him. They put him in jail. The Germans, you can imagine. He escaped from jail with two... So you see, nothing's going to stop. Some people, nothing can stop them. That's what a person's going to try and get to that stage where I'm going to be happy no matter what. I have a rabbi like that. He's mad, I think. How are you? Great. He's in hospital. He's got a double bypass and this and that. How are you? Great. I'm great. His wife has Alzheimer's. How are you? I'm great. He lost his building. How are you? I'm great. He's always positive. And you know what? It's very important to be positive because Hashem says, you're positive. I'll be positive with you. Mida kenegi mida. If you say it's great, I'll make it great for you. It's very, very important. To say positive things. You know, one of the things I don't like is people who are negative. People say bad things. They come to shul, they made bad comments. You don't like it? Find somewhere else. Don't make bad comments. Al tiftape le
satan.
Beautiful. Al tiftape le satan. Don't say bad things about people. This guy, people don't wear the tefillin straight. Okay, so let's do something. Don't have to talk about it. The less talk, more action. Less talk, more action. Let's try and do something about it. You came here 30 years ago, no one wore tefillin. Nobody can. I kind of shocked. Nobody wore tefillin. When I first came to the shul, half the prayers were in English. No, hardly anyone wore tefillin. So I said, how come you don't wear tefillin? He said, we never wore tefillin, even our bir mitzvah, we never wore tefillin. So what do you want? So slowly, it's a slow process. You cannot build people up overnight. You can't make negative comments. This guy drives to shul. This guy does. Slowly, it's a slow process. One day he'll drive you. So it's Uri Zohar. Uri Zohar is a very famous Israeli actor who became a Baal Teshuvah. So suddenly, in the middle of the program, he started wearing yarmulkes. And everyone started laughing because they thought it was part of his act. When they realized he was religious, they don't laugh anymore. They stopped laughing. He said, he used to go to the beach every Shabbat. In Israel, secular, Shabbat, beach day. Shabbat is beach day. So he goes to the rabbi, he says, rabbi, he says, I got a problem. He says, what's the problem? Shabbat is beach day. So the rabbi says, how do you go? He says, I go in car. He says, go by bike. Go by bike. He said, the rabbi would have told him not to go to the beach, he wouldn't become religious. But since he put it in a lesser way, don't go by car, go by bike. So the rabbi is very, very smart. And slowly he became, you know, 10 kids, beard down to here, and a rabbi. Became a rabbi. Became a rabbi. So it's a slow process. It's a slow process and a pleasant process. Ta'amu uru ki tov Hashem. David HaMelech says, taste and see how good Hashem is. If you don't taste it, you'll never get there. If you don't taste the Shabbat, you'll never realize what a Shabbat is about. If you don't taste kashrut, you won't know what's going on. You got to taste it. You got to dip your fingers into the water of the mikvah. And I'll tell you, this was the first story I heard from Rabbi Avad Yosef. I was in England, I was a little kid, and the great chief rabbi of Israel comes visit the synagogue. Ooh, what a big kavod. And this is the story he said. His story was a guy going with to the mikvah with his son, which is not allowed, by the way. Man's not allowed to go to the mikvah with his son. But say the story, okay, the man is going to the mikvah with his son, and the water is freezing. It must be Eastern Europe somewhere where the water is freezing cold. Oh, the mikvah, the Arizal. Tzfat. Oh, God, that mikvah is freezing cold. It's spring water. It's freezing cold in the summertime. I've never been there in the wintertime. I'll never go in the wintertime because you go outside, it's freezing cold as well. You get a cold. So you go in the summertime, it's freezing cold. You jump in and you come out and you go outside. You warm up. 2 minutes, you warm up. So he tells the kid, go in the kid puts his toe inside. Ah, I got toe, my toe. It's cold, it's freezing. Go in a bit more. Ah. So he went inside, comes outside, rubs himself. Ah. He said, that's Judaism. Keep Shabbat. Ah, I gotta come, I'm gonna work, I'm gonna still miss my paycheck. Ah. Comes out. Ah, it's nice, Shabbat. No phone. No beepers, no this, enjoyment, relax, enjoy your family, enjoy your yeshul, enjoy God, enjoy the shurim, enjoy, relaxation. So it's very important to enjoy everything in our lives. It's a shame, people are married together and they can't enjoy each other. It's a shame, they got to make a decision. We got married to enjoy, we didn't get married to have pain. People don't get married to have pain. We had children to enjoy, not to have pain. Sometimes you can't help it. Children are something you can't choose. Your children, you can choose your spouse, which is ironic. Can't choose your children. So it's very important that we are happy. It's important to be happy. And that's the irony, is even though we have good things, we are the spoiled generation. Imagine a flushing toilet. Take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. You have carpet under your feet. You know, they would hang carpets on the wall in those days. Tapestries were too, it was too expensive to put on the floor, you know that? They didn't put carpet on the floor, they put carpet on the walls. It was made by hand. We have hot water on the tap. Wow, running hot water, that's... Ooh, I remember in England in the 60s, we never had running water. We had a bucket. You have a bath, heat the water, put it in the bucket, and then pour it. Remember the outhouses? You don't remember? You guys don't remember? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. You're spoiled.
Outhouses in camp.
Camp, okay. You're spoiled. I'm just saying, people don't appreciate. We're living better than the kings and queens in those days. You go outside, your carriage is waiting for you. Okay, you're going to turn the key. But your carriage is waiting for you. We'll have our own carriage. How many horses? We have plenty of horses. How horsepower? How many horsepower? 50, 60, 100 horsepower. We are the luckiest generation, but we're the most miserable generation. Because we don't appreciate what we have. You have to go back to the museums and see how they lived. And you say, wow, thank God. Can you imagine? A horse, you're being drawn by a horse. You know what horses do? They make a lot of manure.
Right.
Whole streets are stinking. They never had a proper sewage system. And that's why they had all these plagues. Because you have the sewer in the street and the old dirt and the flies. And so we are the luckiest generation. We are the luckiest generation. We're living in a free society. We can be Jewish and enjoy. We're really the luckiest generation. We are. And we have to be happy. We have to be happy. And we have to practice the happiness. We have to practice our face, our facial expression. Facial expression is very, very important. So lack of joy, what a person has, is destructive both physically and spiritually. It can destroy a person. Why? A person says, I don't have enough. Hashem, where are you? Why don't you give me more? I don't believe in you. It can destroy a person's spiritual health. It can destroy a person's physical health because it's miserable, 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 miserable. Of course. And misery causes disease. Misery causes... I was just listening to the radio today. Someone was talking. I don't know who it was. I'm like in a great daze. This guy's talking the radio. He said it adds years to your life. Joy, happiness adds years to a person's life. Because it removes stress. Stress causes high blood pressure and other things. And so it removes stress. The person's going to be happy. Enjoy, 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 enjoy. Enjoy. It's very important to enjoy. Enjoy life. And the Rambam says, be happy in moderation. Don't be all the time. Don't be... pleasant. Rambam says, in Chod Deot, a pleasant facial expression. Smiling all the time. Supposed to be happy all the time. In moderation. And Breslov took it to one stage further, right? Mitzvah gedola, liot besimcha, liot besimcha tamid. It's a mitzvah to be happy. How do you know it's a mitzvah to be happy? It's one of the curses in the Torah. Al asher lo avarta Hashem lokecha, besimcha v'tuv levav. One of the curses, Parsha Ki Tavo, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and with a good heart. In other words, when a person does a mitzvah, Hashem is paying attention. How are you doing that mitzvah? Are you doing it with a good heart? Are you doing it with joy? If not, big trouble. A person's got to be happy. Every time you do a mitzvah, you got to be happy. A person's got to be happy, enjoy that mitzvah.
But I really feel a lot of it is your nature.
Okay, fine. But there's a mitzvah to control your nature. A person's a kleptomaniac. What are you going to say? Oh God, what are you going to do? It's my nature. A person's an adulterer. That's his nature. What do you want him to do? And the answer is, control who you are. That's what growth is all about. What is growth about? What is the Torah all about? The Torah all about is controlling who you are. Changing who you are. You think Avraham Avinu was always a man of kindness? Did he grow? Yeah? Okay. You can say what you want. It's a free country.
No, that's how they make
But then there's no credit. You understand? There's no credit.
I see.
If you are naturally good, let me give an example. It's a very beautiful example. This is a true story. I just read this true story. I get, somehow, they give me this magazine. I get a newspaper every is it Belz or Babov? I can't remember the two Hasidim. I don't know. It's a newspaper which comes from a Hasidic institution.
Source, yeah.
And I get all the stories of their Rebbes and the Tzadikim. Okay, very nice. So this is my information. The information is, the Rebbe dies. He's an old man, he dies. He leaves a young son. And the Hasidim are now, who's going to be our Rebbe? This young kid is Shnep. He's a little 18-year-old. What does he know about life? He's going to be the Rebbe? So they take a vote, and the elders say, he's going to be the Rebbe. So they make him the Rebbe. So how can it be possible? How could he be the Rebbe? How can he know at the age of 18 more than any of our old sages who are learning all their lives? How can he know more? So they gave a parable over there. The parable is, there are two people. One person is born at the bottom of the mountain, and he's climbing the mountain all his life. But the little kid is born on the top of the mountain. Who is greater? A person born at the bottom of the mountain and walking up the mountain? Or a person born at the top of the mountain? So the person born at the top of the mountain, he's already there. So they said, this kid is already born at the top of the mountain. Because he's born from the Rebbe and his soul is purer than the guy who's still purifying himself. Mm-hmm. That's one way of looking at it. But the other way of looking at it is, who gets more reward? And the answer, the person who gets more reward is the person who's slugging, climbing. Trying to break the desire every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
That is the person who's going to get more reward. The person who's a Baal Teshuva is greater than a Tzadik Gamur. A person who's coming from nowhere. And a Ger is the highest. Because a Ger is coming really from nowhere. So they're the highest level. Why? Because they're coming from outside. You know, I call it, if you go to a horse race. What's it called? The horse which is not the favorite. Is there a word for it? It's 5,000 to 1 chance it's going to win. And I've seen people coming from the outside and they climb and they go higher than a lot of other people. They zoom ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Those are amazing ones. Those are amazing. That's really amazing. So it's a great mitzvah to be happy. How do we know it's a mitzvah to be happy? Not from the positive, from the negative. Because you did not serve me with simcha and tuv levav. Because you did not serve me, Hashem says. So every time a person does a mitzvah, they've got to be happy. They got to do it with a good heart. What does it mean, good heart? Because I got to do this again. I got to get up in the morning. I don't like getting in the morning. Push yourself and do it with joy. It's hard to do. It's cold outside. Yesterday was freezing. So you wear another sweater and you go to shul. You get more reward. You get triple points. It's very person's going to know. These are challenges that you get much more reward. Lefum sara agra. The more trouble, the more reward. The more you don't want to do it, the more reward you get if you do it. Because you're controlling yourself. You're doing. You're breaking your desire. You're breaking your wishes. Rav Chaim Vital, the great Kabbalist, the student of the Arizal, he says, feeling happy with what you have is one of the four basic character traits that are essential to acquire. A person has to have this ability to feel happy with what they have. So it's very hard. It's very hard. When everything's going well in life, it's very easy. Even then, people are not happy. It's a tragedy. But when things are not going well, also a person's going to be happy. Because when things are not going well, you're going to be much more connected to God when things are going well. When things are not going well, the person cries to God with all their heart, all their soul. You ever seen people crying to God? Someone's sick and they're crying and they're pleading and they're connecting to Hashem. The person has trouble with the IRS, bar minan, should never happen. Pleading to Hashem, they're crying because their lives are going to be destroyed. So enjoy that. Why? because then the person is closer to God. The person has troubles in their life, the person feels more connected. When a person doesn't have problems, everything's going well, you have to force yourself to connect and thank and praise and thank and praise. So it's very important to thank and praise, because Hashem says if you don't connect one way, you're going to connect the other way. So I want you to connect it. It's like a father and a son. I want to hear from my son. I got a son who doesn't call me. It's very upset. People don't realize that. But now I realize, you know, by calling my parents. In those days, it wasn't like you had a cell phone, you had the internet, you had way, you had WhatsApp, and then never had it. You had to write a letter. Imagine.
That's right.
And a letter took 2 weeks to get there, and you get a reply 2 weeks later, so it's a 4 weeks delay. To pay for an international call, you got to pay for every minute. It's like how much it was a fortune. So it's hard to call your parents in those days. It was hard to get in touch. You write the letter, you send the letter, and you get a reply. That's kibud avim. That's kibud avim. So same thing, Hashem wants to hear from us. Hashem says, everything's going well in your life, you're not talking to me? I want to hear from you. That check will not come today. So it's very important. Let's see the four major traits that are so important for a person to acquire for success in life. What are the four major traits? He says, this is Rechai Vital. Number one, we said, is to be happy with what you have. Number one, be happy with what you have. Number two, humility. It's so hard. Everyone thinks the world revolves around me. I'm the big macher in the world. The world, when I walk in, everyone should say, yes, sir. Okay. Everyone should give me honor. No! Humility. Who am I? Remember four things and you'll never sin. What are the four things? Quickly. May ayin bata. Where do you come from? From a putrid drop. Le'ana ta'olech. Where are you going to? I'm going to a place of worms. Think about it. And who are you going to give judgment for? In front of God. Remember three things. You will never sin. Three things. Person's going to have humility. That's number two. To acquire humility. Humility does not mean I'm a zero. Humility means I know my potential. I know my worth. But I still, it's not me, it's God. Everything came from God. That's humility. So number three. So the four basic characteristics. Number one is be happy with what you have. Number two is humility. Number three, appropriate silence. Lo matzati tov leguf ela shtika. Rabban Gamliel says, I studied all my life, studied the sages. The best thing I found for the body was quiet, silence. A person's going to know when to talk and when not to talk. It's very important. Sometimes people just want to talk, because if you don't talk today in today's society, like, people think you're a fool. And what does Shlomo Melech say? Mishlei says, like the crackling of wood under the fire, so too is the voice of the fools. They just crackle. But they don't see the wood under the fire. If you use just plain wood from the trees, they don't burn properly. They make a loud noise. See, the same thing, the fools, they talk a lot, but there's no substance. Shlomo Melech. So that's number three. Number three is appropriate silence. When to talk, when not to talk. It's a very big chokmah. If people aren't going to listen, why talk? If people are going to listen, not talk. If people are not going to listen, why should I talk? And number four. Control of desires. So hard to do. Control oneself. The four things, let's recap. This is very, very important. Rav Chaim Vital, in Shari Kedusha, the gates of holiness. Number one, be happy with what? You? Very important. And that's the 10th commandment. The 10 commandments. What's the 10th commandment? Quickly, quickly.
Don't covet.
What does that mean?
Don't want.
Very good, excellent. So what is the opposite of that? Be happy with what you have. I'm not allowed to have his thing. I'm not allowed to even think about taking his thing. I've got to be happy with what I have. Right? So focus inwardly, don't focus outwardly. It's very hard to do. Very, very hard to do. Very, very hard to do.
Very important.
Very important. To be happy with what you have. Think about what you have and be happy with what you have. And think about the blessing that God gave you personally. Because whatever you have, that's a blessing from God. Whatever you have is a blessing from God, which God gave you. And no one else is like you. Person's got to know, I am unique in the world. No one else has my brains. No one else has my face. No one else has my capabilities. No one else has my potential. Hashem gave me everything. I'm unique and I'm happy what I have. I was going to say over and over again. So, you know, today, if you're not 6'5", I don't know what it is, and very handsome and whatever, bronze and whatever, I don't know what it is, then you're a zero. Don't feel like that. Many of our gedolim are barely 5 feet tall. It's hard to imagine. Rav Moshe Feinstein was barely 5 feet. The Chazon Ish was barely 5 feet. Chavetz Chaim was barely 5 feet tall. And these are gedolim. These are major. So it's not what you're looking like. It's not your height. Gvura, as we talked about, Gibor is not, we didn't get there yet. Well, Gibor is not might. Gibor is your internal qualities of being able to control your desires. It's so hard. So four things. What are the four things? Let's really recap. Who can let's repeat. Number four things. Number one. Be happy with what you have. Number two.
Humility.
Humility. Very good. Number three.
Appropriate silence.
Appropriate silence. And number four?
Control
desire. Psh, that's very hard. Wow, that's very hard. Okay, so the question is now, how much self-gratification do I need in life? How much? Listen, I want to have a nice house. Do you want to have a nice house?
Mm-hmm.
What for? Why can't you live in a dump? Why do you need a nice house? Quickly, quickly, come on.
Makes you feel
better. Huh? Well, if there's a nice house, Hashem is there. If there's not a nice house, Hashem will not be there. I'm asking why. Okay, you can have guests. Very good, very nice.
Surround yourself with positivity.
Very good, very nice. Come on, let's go. Aesthetics plays a large role in a person's spiritual success. The rabbi said an amazing thing. They said three things can increase the person's mind. What are the three things that increase the person's mind? Number one, a beautiful spouse. Psh. A beautiful house, a beautiful furniture. Can increase a person. So a person is very... If you're living in poverty and distress, your mind is closed. You can't think big. Because your mind is thinking about my next day, I got to make a living to earn bread for a certain amount.
So what are the three things?
I can't tell you.
That seems so superficial.
It is. It is very superficial. But if it's used to open your mind, it's not superficial anymore. It's very important. The person comes home and he says, the furniture is falling out, falling down and disgusting, and I can't operate like this. I don't know about you. I can't operate. If things are not clean, can you operate? Can't operate. The wall's falling down. Can you operate? No, you can't operate. In times of war, can you operate? No, you can't operate. We need certain things to survive. We need certain things not just to survive. We need certain things to be able to think. And these things allow you to think. A nice space. Like, they're designing today offices. Right? Microsoft building a brand new office. Amazon bringing a brand new office. They're designing offices with this idea to make their workers think. You go to Silicon Valley. Their offices are, I don't know, crazy, but they're designed so that people can think. People cannot think if they're living in squalor. You put a guy in a dungy old room and tell him, here, this is your job. What's he going to do? He's going to do his job, but he's going to do it in a very bad way. He's going to do it with a very bad mind. He's not going to think straight.
That means that poor people...
I don't say anything about poor people. I'm just saying.
Well...
So it's not our ideal. Poverty is not a Jewish ideal. Baruch Hashem. Poverty is not a Jewish ideal.
Okay.
Living as a monk in a monastery is not a Jewish ideal. The Jewish ideal is... 10 tzaddikim in the midst of the city. Hashem says, I'll save Sodom if they are 10 tzaddikim in the midst of the city. They've got to be involved in the city. They've got to be involved in daily life. By sitting in the periphery of the city, it's not going to be enough. You're not going to change people. You're going to go in the midst of the city. So it's very important. Aesthetics is very important. It'd be nice. Imagine a shul which is built as a dump. It's not kavod. When Shlomo Melech built the temple, he built it with the best possible materials. Because the aesthetics to serve God are very important. A person serves God with the best things. Thank you so much. So it's very important to have the aesthetics. It's very important in a person's life. And the rabbis were smart. They said, listen, they realize aesthetics is very important. So Rambam says, if a person buys a painting because he likes to save money to put in paintings, but he's buying a painting because he thinks aesthetically it will help him to think bigger, about bigger things and better things, is good. It's a mitzvah. So interesting. So that can make a person happy. A person says, listen, this will make me happy. I get a nice house. Make me happy. So this way a person has a nice frame of mind to serve Hashem better. That's the idea. But obviously not to go too far. Okay, we have to stop here. And there'll be no class next week.